Man's toils alone. As Eliam and his sons sang it, the music drummed in her veins, and it became the song of Kiri, the lost prince. She smiled at him. His eyes acknowledged that meaning. Harp, pipe, and voices together wove the long spell, ending with, "His oath at last fulfilled, his captor's blood is spilled, but nothing can restore the youth he had before, yet gold outlasts white bone, blood, iron, silver, stone, his honor is his own." As they sang the final verses and let the music die away. "Now," he said, "I do not know how long Paxinarian can stay. For us, as long as she will, but all of you remember that she is welcome to go or stay as she pleases and take whatever she needs. If any of you can aid her, do it in my name. Is that clear?" "Yes, my lord," came the response. Eliam nodded to them, then turned to Pax. "And now, you will want to rest, you and your squires. Come and go as you will. I will always be glad to speak with you. But if you must go without my leave, know you have it." "I thank you," said Pax, bowing. She followed him from the table and hall. Estel and the squires came with them. She woke from comfortable sleep, warm, clean, grateful for a good bed, to the awareness of danger. Starlight outlined the window. The room was dark, but for the faint glow of a dying fire. She could hear the squires breathing. All seemed asleep. Slowly, silently, Pax eased out of bed, taking up the sword which lay beneath her hand. She did not draw it. She did not need its warning. Out of the narrow window she could see nothing. Its lower half was patterned in frost ferns. Still barefoot, she went to the door and opened it. A black passageway faced her. She could see nothing at all. But the sense of danger increased, pushing at her mind. Sighing, she turned back to the room and woke her squires. As they rose, she dressed quickly, arming herself. Her sense of menace deepened. She opened the door again, and, on an impulse, called her light. The entire passage was filled with webbing, strand after strand, looped in an intricate pattern that centered on the door of Pox's room, and a black presence hung in the web, scarcely an arm's length away.
"Well, are you less eager to meet me?"
The voice was strangely sweet. Pox could see no detail of the presence, could not tell shape or even size. She drew the sword, its hilt, comforted her hand. "I am always eager to meet evil," said Pox, "with a blade."
"You will not be eager when you know what you have done," said the voice. "You vermin. I have warned you often enough, and yet you kill and kill. You have torn my webs. You have robbed me of my prey."
Pox laughed. The shade seemed to contract and grow more solid, but it was large, larger than she had imagined it could be. "I have done no more than any good soldier," she said. "In keeping the barracks clean, the webs are swept away."
"Fool!"
The word howled in Pox's ears, echoed in her head. She leaned against the force of it.
"You think you can stand against me, mistress of all webs, the spinner of wise plans?"
"Not I, but Gerd and the High Lord."
"Who left you open to me, silly girl? I had you in Arrhenius and in Calobia. You are tainted with my venom already. When I call, you will answer."
"No." Pox heard the squires behind her, and waved them back with her free hand. "By the power of the High Lord and the grace of Gerd, I am not your